Welcome to Chart and Compass Ministry, a ministry of Christ Lutheran Church in Cape Canaveral, helping you to navigate through the storms of this life by the ever-accurate compass of the Word of God. I'm pleased to share with you today another message from Pastor Greg Lucier, and the message today is titled, How to Be Positive in a Negative World.
God's grace, His mercy, and His peace be with you today through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. Today, I'd like to talk with you about being positive in a negative world. You think the world is kind of negative today? How to be bright when everything around you seems to be dark? How to be of good cheer when everything around you and the people around you seem to be full of despair and trouble? How to be positive in the midst of a negative world. And what God, our Father, our Creator, our Savior, speaks to us about that very issue today through His Word. A word we much need in these days that we're living in, a word of good cheer from our Father above. So how does God do that? How does He encourage us? How does He speak to us? How does He keep our spirits of good cheer in the midst of a world where so much wants to suck that out of us and cause us to be going in a downward direction rather than with an upward spirit? How does God make our spirits today bright, of good cheer, and with an upward heart towards Him as we go through our pilgrim's journey through this world to that one above and which is to come? What's God say to us about being positive in the midst of a negative world? Well, the first thing I think I'd like to do this day is to acknowledge with you, and as does God in Scripture, that this world is full of trouble. Amen? And it's so easy to be down and in despair. You know, ever since Adam and Eve fell, prior to that it was all good cheer. After that, it was trouble. It's been trouble ever since. There is trouble today, and there will always be trouble, even into tomorrow, until this old world's put away and the new world comes. And it's the saints have always had to deal with hardships. And it's been very hard for them at times to keep up good cheer. Let's take a look in Scripture at a few of those places, like Jeremiah. You know, he had, at his time, had his country basically torn apart and from him. And in Lamentations 3, he says, "My soul is bereft of peace. I have forgotten what happiness is." He was having trouble being of good cheer. Job, of course, you know his story. He said, "I am not at ease, nor am I quiet. I have no rest, but trouble comes," cried Job. David, in Psalm 13, said, "How long, O Lord, will you forget me ever, forever? How long must I bear pain in my soul and have sorrow in my heart all the day? How long shall my enemy be exalted over me?" he cried. And then the great super good cheer man of the New Testament would be Paul. He's the guy that says, "Rejoice always," right? And the Lord rejoiced. But in 2 Corinthians 1, he said, "We were so utterly, unbearably crushed by his afflictions that we despaired of life itself. Why, we felt that we'd received the sentence of death." He felt totally crestfallen, hopeless. But then, of course, he puts his hope in God. But Paul had times hard to keep up good cheer. How about you? Are these days difficult days to keep up your good cheer before the Lord and have an upward attitude in your heart? Well, indeed, I think we're not suffering as much as our ancestors, right? We come from some pretty hardy stock that have been through some really tough times and struggles in the older days. They were harder than we are, maybe, in a sense, but we also maybe have it harder than they did. Because at least in ancient or older times, you could run away to some other country to find escape. These days, it's like, where do I go? Australia? Dalian Dan Under? Well, no, that's now like a prison colony, as you know. Austria? No, they're doing vaccine mandates, or you go to jail, I guess. Well, we could run to Canada. Oh, well, pastors there are getting arrested for holding church at times. In our own country, it's like, where do you go in our day? Besides the fact that we all just have plain troubles in our personal lives that we're facing. You know, the struggles, strife, difficulties, maybe sickness, a loved one passing away, you yourself facing death, whatever it is, we all have difficulties. And it's hard for us too, wouldn't you say, to keep up good cheer as we're going through a negative world to stay positive? Well, indeed, it is very difficult to do so. But you know what? It's okay for you to be down at times. That's not a sin. The saints have all felt this way. But listen carefully. It is not God's will that you should be down continually, or that this should be the overall experience of your life as you journey as a pilgrim through this world to that one, that shining city above where God is. Actually, Proverbs says this, though the righteous man falls seven times, he rises again. That's the heart God is in you. Maybe have a bad day, he gets it. That's okay, we all understand. But he wants you to be up and of good cheer. So how do we do that, though? How do we have a be positive in the midst of a negative world that you're living in? Well, the first thing we need to do is to know that God's will for you is an upwards good cheer attitude. Because God is a God of all encouragement, it says in the book of Romans. Steadfastness and encouragement. He always comes to help his people, doesn't he? Amen? Think about these things. Here are some examples. Luther says, our Lord God is not interested in sad looks. He didn't create the head to droop. He created the beasts in that way, right? You look at a donkey, you look at a horse. But man, he made upright. He wants you up. You look at Jeremiah or look at Joshua. You know, he was frightened. He was dismayed at the giants that were before him. And God says, don't be frightened. Don't be dismayed. Be strong. Be of good courage, for I'm with you wherever you go. Notice how God comes to him in his time of sorrow and trouble to give him a new heart of cheer. You also look at David. I'm weary with my moaning. Every night I flood my bed with my tears. I drench my couch with my weeping. But the Holy Spirit, God, comes along and then puts into his heart, but cast your burden on the Lord, David, and he'll sustain you. I won't permit the righteous to be moved. God comes along again for good cheer. Jeremiah, oh, my soul is bereft of peace. I've forgotten what happiness is. You ever feel like that? God came along to him and put into his heart, but call to mind this, Jeremiah, that my steadfast love to you never ceases. My mercies never come to an end. They're new every morning. Great is my faithfulness. And his heart returns to good cheer. If you look at Jesus himself in Isaiah 50, it was prophesied of him that he would have a tongue that would be able to sustain with a word him that is weary. Are you weary? Jesus' voice is such that he knows how to refresh you and put good cheer back into you on your journey, heart's journey to home. He raises the poor from the dust and lifts the needy from the ash heap, says Psalm 113. Isaiah 35, God says, I revive the spirit of the humble. I revive the heart of the contrite. He's there to bring new life to us. Paul says, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I'll say rejoice. This is God's will for you. And Jesus in John 16 says, in the world, you have tribulation. The word there in the Greek is phlipsis. You have pressings. You have crushings. You have very narrow places you have to go through. In the world, you have tribulations. But be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. Be of good cheer, says our Lord. So would you say an amen to that? Our Lord wants you of good cheer. If you have a bad day, that's okay. It's acceptable. You can be down a little bit. But overall, of a bright spirit, upwards and joyful. For though the righteous man falls seven times, he rises again. So how do we do that, though? How do we stay positive in a negative world. Very good, Vivian. You're listening. Who was that? I like that participation. So first, know God's will is for you to have a good cheer, but I'd like to share with you now for the rest of this sermon some things God's been doing with me. I could go on, really, as you know, till the Lord comes, on encouragements for you to be positive. God's word is full of such things, but I'm going to give you four that God has spoken to me personally for my own encouragements, and it's made me brighter and of good cheer. I have trouble at times, but overall, I'm really a person of good cheer, but God's helping me to be better. Here are four ways he's been doing it. The first one is found in Matthew chapter 6, at the very end of that chapter. Listen to what God, Jesus says here. Verse 34 and following. Jesus says, "Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Let the day's own trouble be sufficient for the day." What has God said to me in that verse and says to you? He says to me, "Greg, don't take on more than a single day at a time. One day alone. You can handle today. Don't worry about tomorrow." Do you know that that's actually God's will for you? Your Creator in heaven says, "I don't want you worrying." The word is memnao in the Greek. Don't even take a thought for tomorrow. Don't worry about tomorrow. Don't take that on. Don't be troubled by it. Don't be anxious over it. Let the day's own trouble be sufficient for the day. The word for sufficient in the Greek is the word for it's enough. Let today's own trouble be enough. Can you do that? A lot of times, here's our problem. We're taking on way more than God wants us to take on. Tomorrow's troubles, and next week's troubles, and next month's troubles, next year's troubles. Oh my goodness, all these things going on in the world. But you can handle today, can't you? God says, don't take off more than, bite off more than you can chew. I'm just giving you today. This is my will for you. Only eat today's trouble. Let that be enough. Can you do that? We often fail to, but I like to think of eating like a hamburger. You ever try to, you have to take a little piece at a time. Unless you're Beth's brother. When he was trying to impress a girl in high school, they went to McDonald's, and he ate an entire Big Mac in one gulp. While all his friends were shouting, "Row in, row in, row in." But if you try that, you're going to choke and die, probably. So God says, take off little pieces. Another, maybe better illustration would be, how much weight can you lift at a time? Can you lift this? That's not too bad, right? This is pretty easy. I can carry that. Maybe I could even carry 10 pounds a day, right? That's okay. I can do all kinds of stuff with just this weight. But what if I were to take on 1,000 pounds? Well, could I do that? Can anybody lift 1,000 pounds here? Yes and no. You can lift 1,000 pounds, but not all at once. 10 pounds a day, but then over the course of time, oh, now I'm up to 30 pounds. Oh, a lot of you are taking on this, and then more, and more, and more, and you're walking around. No wonder your head's drooping. God says, this is not my will for you. Put that away. Oh, I can't even do this. Look at that. God says, this is all I want for you. We're going to take care of tomorrow together when we get to tomorrow. Just carry today's burdens. You can do that. Even if you're dying, you're not going to die today, probably. Just worry about today. We'll take care of tomorrow tomorrow. God says, this is my will for you. So how do you do that, actually? Just very simply, something God's been laying on my heart is just say that in the morning when you wake up. I take 10 seconds, 20 seconds. I say, first thing I wake up, I say, God, today I will let the day's own trouble be sufficient for the day. I won't worry about tomorrow. Just today with you, Lord. And I quote that verse from Matthew 6, verse 34. And you know what? I go on my day, and as I go and I start to feel I'm taking on weights of tomorrow, and the next day I remember that verse and I say, wait a second, that's tomorrow's trouble. That's tomorrow's trouble. I'll just carry the weight for today. Can you do that, number one? God says, this is the Creator's will for His children. Only one day at a time. Just take today's burden. The second thing that God's been impressing to really help me to be of better good cheer would be found in Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 8. There we read this. He says, "Have no anxiety about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God." And then he says in verse 8, "Finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is gracious, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things." And then a few words later, "And the God of peace will be with you." So what I learned in this is, number one, we have a lot of negative thoughts which we've got to fight. Have no anxiety about them. Put them away. Fight the negative. But don't just fight the negative and hand those to God in prayer and ask for help. But you got to replace the negatives with the positive thoughts. Whatever's true, lovely, gracious, excellent, worthy of praise. Think about these things. Put the good in, casting out the negative, putting in the good. I think where we go wrong a lot of times is that we just fight the negative. Stop being so nervous. Stop being troubled. Stop worrying. Stop being afraid. What happens? You don't really get ultimately anywhere because you're only stopping the negative, but you're not replacing it with the positive. What you think about today is probably what you thought yesterday, and it's what you'll think tomorrow, because our minds get into pathways. They're called neuropathways, and we have paths that our minds go in thinking every day. If we want to stop the negative paths and strike out in a new path, that takes a little bit of work to deny the negative and put in the positive. Sort of like a deer in the forest. We'll always choose the easiest path. If this one's well trodden, I'll walk this one. That one's overgrown with thorns. I need to strike out on a new path, create those new thinking paths, and then that will become the easier way to go. My point is, if we are going in a downward spiral with negative thinking and such, fight that. But then we've got to turn it around and start thinking on whatever's lovely, gracious, excellent, worthy of praise, and then the God of peace will be with you, and your heart will rise. So how do we do that? Well, whenever I find myself starting to go downwards and negative and worry and get troubled and watch the world and such things and consider my own life or whatever I'm wrestling with, and I notice I'm going in a downward spiral, you know what I do? I've learned this from some lady on the internet. I forget her name. But she says, quickly say 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. And that'll short circuit the negative path. Oh, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, snap out of that. Don't go that direction. And then I immediately ask myself, where's Art, a positive leading question, leading to a faith-filled answer to cause myself to go in up. Does this make sense? So you're going down, say 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, short circuit that negative path, and then start cutting through the jungle and force yourself to go in a positive. For example, I'm facing a storm out at sea, or out on the river here, and it might be a little scary to watch. I notice myself getting a little nervous about it. I say, wait, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, short circuit that. Wait a second, turn around. What do I have to be brave and confident about in this situation? And I start answering that question, because your mind's like a computer. Whatever question you ask it, it will search for the answers. And I start saying, well, because God is with me, because I've handled storms before, and this lion and bear shall be like this Goliath shall be like that previous lion and bear. God is not only with me, but he controls the weather. He can say, peace, be still to the storm. He's also made me more than a conqueror through him who loves me in Jesus Christ. He has also said, this is a father-son adventure. We're going through it together. I will see you through to the other side. And I keep answering that question for 4 or 5 minutes. I feel great. The heart rises from the positive question. So let's say you try it with me. You're feeling negative. You're feeling, doubtful. Uh-oh, I'm having great doubts in God. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. What would be a good question? What can I trust in God for right now? What are His promises to me in Scripture? I'll never leave you nor forsake you. I'm with you always to the close of the age. When you pass through the waters, I'll see you. I'll be with you. In the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you, etc. Positive question leading up. How about this one? I'm nervous and anxious right now. Or no, let's say I'm depressed. Let's try that one. Oh, nothing's going right. My whole life sucks. Everything's going down and terrible. I have nothing good. What do you do? 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. And then what's a good question to ask when you're depressed? What can I rejoice in the Lord for right now? Well, I'm alive. He's with me. I have breath in my lungs. My family's with me. We're still together. He's given me His word. His angels are here to help me, etc. Your mind is going to, like on a computer, answer whatever question you ask it, and upwards, upwards, upwards goes the mind. And you should do this. I've learned to do it, trying to anyway, not only in times when I'm going downwards, but even when I'm feeling up. I just start asking a positive question. I drive home from church and I say to myself, like, for the next 5 minutes, instead of listening to that stupid radio, what do I like about God? What's my favorite thing about my Savior? Well, I love Him that He's my Father. I love Him that He's always with me. I love Him that He's loved me even when I was a bad guy. And now He's helping me in the good. And I just keep answering that question, and up goes the heart. Or what can I be thankful to God for right now in my life? And just start listing that and set it for 2 to 4 minutes. Set your timer and you'll be at 10 minutes and you'll still be going up. Because you ask the right question, and all of a sudden you're no longer walking down that negative path. You start to walk on this positive path until eventually it's really well worn and it becomes the easier way to go. And the old negative path becomes overgrown with thorns. Not easy, but that's the second thing God's been helping me. Ask the positive question that faith will have to get active with. And then your heart will return to good cheer. It really does work. I can testify in my own life. Okay, good for that one. The third of four ways is God says, don't forget the big picture of life. In fact, let's take this up right now. The big picture. A lot of times we tend to think of what's going wrong in our lives and facing just this troublesome moment and everything's a big mess. Guess what? Your life is going to be troublesome and painful through this world, but we got to put it into the big picture of the royal story that's unfolding. You're a pilgrim going through hardships on your way to glory and a city to come. And when we have that big picture in our lives, it makes all the troubles of our lives that seem so big become much smaller compared with the glory of where we're going. Now, is that scriptural as well? Absolutely. Think about Paul. What was his life like? I was shipwrecked 3 times. I was a night and a day adrift at sea, in cold and exposure, in danger from rivers, danger from robbers, dangers from the Gentiles, danger from my own people, danger in the city, danger in the wilderness. Imprisonments, beatings, and lashings and such things, he could have said, this life, you know what? But exactly, I was going to say that again, but I figured I can't say it twice in one sermon. He puts it, though, notice, into the big picture, and what is that over here in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 17, he says, this slight, momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison. He considered his sufferings to be rather small, though we would consider them great. In Romans 8, he says, I consider that the present sufferings, the sufferings of this present world, are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us. The way we fail is we think this is our life, this is all there is, and it's no good. But if we remember, this life is not supposed to be perfect. You will have troubles in this life. That's okay. It's just hardships and bumps in the road on the way to a kingdom and a glory at the end, a shining city with our King. And so it makes the bumps in the road seem like little bumps and not such huge mountains when we frame it in the royal story of the Bible. So always remember to keep that royal frame in there. Helps me a lot. And then lastly, would be this one, is just to go back always to the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, what is the best place for good cheer in this world is grace in the gospel that God has given to us. Beth did this yesterday. Didn't she do a good job? Look, it's even the red ribbon is in the shape of a cross. We get down in life because we forget the glory of the gospel. We start to think, oh, my sins are terrible and I'm such a jerk and I've not gotten as far into the Christian life as I should have, and these things haunt me, and we think about the law, and oh my goodness, God, are you really for me? And we tremble and we shake and we go downwards. God says, go back to my free gift to you in Jesus Christ. Yes, you're a sinner. Yes, the law condemns, but God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that you, believing on him, my son, should not perish, but have everlasting life. That's going to give you good cheer every time. The gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, that we have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, but we're justified by God's grace as a gift through the redemption which is in Christ Jesus, whom God put forward as an atoning sacrifice by his blood that to be received by faith. By grace you've been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It's the free gift of God, not because of works, lest any man should boast. And God is our refuge and strength, a very present help for us in trouble. And since we're justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, if you are feeling down and feeling alone and feeling haunted by your sins, go back to this free gift that God gives us in Jesus Christ. What do we have if we open up the grace of God and his gift to us in Jesus? All the promises of God find their yes in him. All the treasures of wisdom are found in Jesus Christ, the way, the truth, and the life. Here in Jesus, you have grace, forgiveness of your sins, redemption, eternal life, friendship with God, the help of the angels, the company of the saints, a good cheer, encouragement through this life, a shining city to which you are destined, and eternal victory. If we actually set our minds on these things, write down scripture verses to these effect, and memorize them, think about them, keep them before us, it always will make the heart rise to good cheer. So the fourth thing is I always go back to the grace that God has given to us in Jesus Christ. So, little review, and then we'll conclude. First thing, God says, don't take on too much. Let the day's own trouble be sufficient for the day. Just carry that weight. When you're going down, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, ask a positive leading question and answer it. Take time for your faith to be active. Keep it in the biblical framework of the royal story and that place to which you are destined and to which God is leading you. And know that I'm with you always to the close of the age, to be with you and carry you all the way to my city above, and that's your destiny. I'll conclude with this word, and this is a good word for us all to keep in mind and remember today. Jesus says to you, through me, right now, in the world, yes, you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. In Jesus' name, amen.